Hi, welcome to the Landing Spot Podcast. I'm your host, Allison Noe. This show exists to trample all over the idea that feeling exhausted and terrible is just part of being a woman or an aging woman. I am a certified women's health coach seeking to provide women of all ages a safe spot to land as they learn how to truly restore hormone and metabolic health. I will interview leading experts in the field, as well as women who have personally overcome things like stubborn weight gain, exhaustion, irregular cycles, infertility, brain fog, and so much more. It is your time to move from surviving to thriving. Enjoy the show. Hey, thank you so much for joining the show today. I know you're going to get a ton of great information that our guest is giving you. But before we get started, if you are a woman who is suffering from chronic fatigue, terrible sleep, weight gain, skin issues, irregular cycles, anxiety, depression, all of the things that come with hormone and metabolic dysfunction, I would love to see if I can help you. Reach out to me on Instagram, send me a DM, and let's schedule a call to see if I'm the right professional to get you back to where you want to be. And that is thriving. Ladies, we are not meant to be barely hanging on, no matter what age we are. We are truly created and designed to thrive. I want to help you through some simple lifestyle interventions achieve that. If I'm not the right person for you, I have a ton of connections in this field all over the U.S., and I would love to connect you with one of those so that you can truly live your best life. Reach out. It's at Allison Health Coach Noe on Instagram. We'll include that in the show notes. And now y'all enjoy the show. Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Landing Spot Podcast. Today we have the amazing Tammy Welter. Tammy is actually a board certified esthetician, but she spent 20 years as a surgeon's assistant and is just super knowledgeable in her field, in health and wellness. And I always really enjoy talking to her. So I really wanted to bring her on and have her share the best tips and information about skincare. It is super important when we're thinking about hormone function, hormone health. So it's really important that we are paying attention to the products that we put on our skin, and that can be really tricky for the novice or the average person. It's still something that I'm not super aware of. And so I'm anxious to learn from you today as well, Tammy. And she also has been on her own health journey. She has been frustrated with Western medicine. She has had some major issues with thyroid function, mold toxicity. And these are important things that we talk about because she may talk about symptoms in a way that registers something with some of the listeners, right? So you may be experiencing these weird symptoms and you're listening and you're like, oh, huh, maybe I should find a practitioner that can test to see if this is something that's going on with me. Agreed. So before we get started, if you are a woman who is struggling with weight loss, chronic fatigue, brain fog, really just feeling like you're stuck in a body that's not yours, and you would like some help on some lifestyle interventions, please reach out to me on Instagram. My handle is Allison Health Coach Noe, and I'll have that in the show notes. Send me a DM. We can hop on a call and see if I am the right person to help you. If not, I would love to connect you with the best professional to get you feeling your best so that you are thriving and not just surviving. So, all right, Tammy, I am so excited. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Allison. Thank you. Absolutely. It's good to see you. Good to see you this way. You know, I don't know if people know, but we used to CrossFit together, and that's how we know each other. And now this is kind of cool.
Yes, yes. It's been a fun journey because we realized way after we weren't working out together anymore that we had a lot of other similarities and
that's
everything
right.
from
that's
our
right.
faith to our health and wellness. And so God's just good like that in connecting us
Amen.
Women.
Amen.
So
Agreed.
I'm so excited. So let's start out. I want to hear a little bit about your professional background. So tell us about that. And then if you want, let's get into, before we do this. So I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to give the listeners something right away that they can take away from this podcast, put into action that will better their health. So what is a skin tip or piece of advice that you would give?
When it comes to labels, don't believe what you see on the packaging. Make them prove it to you, and I can teach you how.
Perfect. Yes, yeah. We're going to dive into that, but that is such a good point. So there is something in marketing called greenwashing, and that is a term for these labels, these packages, these boxes that look super earthy and holistic and organic. And when you go and read the labels or the ingredients list, they are far from it. So that is such a great point when you're looking at your nutrition, when you're looking for skincare products. Just remember that if you see a bunch of words that you don't recognize, even if it's in this nice earthy brown package, it's probably not what it's selling you to be, right? An apple doesn't have to have, you know, whole food, heart healthy label on it. We just know.
Right. Right. Well, a lot of marketing teams go into great lengths to the color of the package, the size and shape of the package, the color of the font, the style of the font, to appeal to specific audiences. So yes, whether it's children or adults or for men or women, all of that label is tempting you to believe what's on the front and not flip it over on the back and read in the teeny tiny print they have.
Yeah.
What's going on inside the tube.
I'm so excited that we're chatting today because I am a hardcore label and ingredient list reader.
Same when it comes here.
To nutrition, but I can't tell you how many times I have gotten got when it comes to skincare products, shaving cream. You know, I will grab it because it looks natural and holistic, and then I'll get it home, and the minute I squirt it out, you can smell all those unnatural artificial flavor, you know, smells, scents. And yes. I then look and I'm like, yeah, there's nothing healthy about this at all. So, but I need to learn how to better read these types of labels. So this is perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Great.
So, okay. Yes. Let's dive in a little bit. I want the listeners to know a little bit more about your professional background, because I think that gives you even more merit in what you're going to be speaking on. And then feel free to just go into some of the issues that you have experienced with Western medicine and your personal health.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Pasadena, California, in Los Angeles County. Right after high school, I decided to go into trade school. I thought I wanted to be a CPA. That lasted a few weeks before I said, this is not for me. And I went in to become a dental assistant. And I did that for about 3.5-4 years. And I really enjoyed that because my mother was a dental assistant. So I started out there. Later on, I found myself moved to Mississippi, here where my mom is, and started back to work after I raised my kids at home a little bit, got them in kindergarten, and decided to go back to work in the dental field. And I ended up taking a job out at the prison. And I didn't know that it would be in a prison. So I took the job at a major university here, and it ended up, you're going to go work at the dentist in the prison. So while I was in prison working on the inmates, one of the surgeons in there who was working at the prison as well, he said, you know, you really have a great knack for this. Why don't you try becoming, you know, a surgeon's assistant? And so 3 months later, I quit and started my journey in becoming a surgeon's first assist. So it took quite a few years to really go through all of that. And I ended up working for a doctor here, for the same doctor, for 19 years. And so that was really nice to work for a private surgeon. So wherever he went, I went. And so I enjoyed that a good bit. It was very rewarding. And then towards the end of my career, I really was the person who just closed and sutured the wound. So I worked with the integumentary system for quite a long time. When he passed away, I retired, and I stayed retired about 2 weeks. I don't sit still for long. So I started my journey to become an esthetician. And then I decided, well, I really don't want to do work for a major corporation and do, you know, assembly line facials. It just wasn't fulfilling. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. So I started my own business. And that's how Cloud9 Skincare was born. I like Cloud9 because it gives that feeling of a state of euphoria. I wanted my clients to walk in, but float out. So that's where I am today. I own Cloud Nine Skincare in Flowood.
I love that. I love that. You have, as long as I've known you, taken really good care of yourself. You've always enjoyed physical activity. You have a better base knowledge of nutrition than a lot of people, and you're very aware of what's going on in your body. And that's one thing that we see a lot with women who are struggling with hormone dysfunction or metabolic dysfunction, is that we get disconnected, right? These chemical messengers, all these things that that our body is designed to use to tell us that something isn't right, they get silenced or muted. We're just not aware. And I'm grateful that you had that awareness, because you had some really serious health issues come up. So let's talk a little bit about that. What started happening that made you realize, uh-oh, something isn't right?
Yes, I was kind of thrown for a loop. Back to what you were saying, I've always been active, whether it's, running, triathlons, CrossFit, et cetera. And I've listened to my body a lot through the years. And in healthcare, working in healthcare, I was never sick. I was there all the time, no matter what. You have to show up to work in surgery. But I just was a very healthy person, healthy minded, did my own research. I learned to be skeptical in the medical field. It teaches you that way, because when you see someone on the inside, they look very healthy on the outside. But when you strip a carotid and it looks just like a French fry in there, cholesterol is an issue, et cetera. So I say that because I learned to be skeptical. And so I just did, the internet was born then, and it was easy to research or, go to the store and buy a book about, read this before you eat that, et cetera. And I just kind of a nerd, just really a nerd. And that fascinated me. The science behind those things fascinated me. And I always enjoyed good health until, I was 48, 49, driving to the gym one day. And instead of going to the gym, I popped into my local doc and said, "Hey, I'm not feeling so hot." And she's like, "Yeah, Tammy, that's not like you. Let's see what's going on." And just see a little blood test here and there, and said, "Maybe you've got something going on with your thyroid." And it turned out I had Hashimoto's. That stumped me and threw me for a loop. What's Hashimoto's? And had to figure out about autoimmune disorders. And so I dove into that and went to see my Western medicine, GYN, outside of my normal checkup, and took some labs. And, "Hey, you're fine. You're fine. Your labs are fine. We'll see you at your checkup next year." So I, took that at face value and went right back to the gym, doing my healthy lifestyle, eating as best, what I knew, looked great on the outside, but I wasn't feeling great on the inside. And eventually it just caught up with me one day. I had a stressful event in my personal life. A family member was gravely ill, and that'll stress you really bad. And that just seemed to be what flipped it for me. That stressful event just got it to where I didn't want to go to work, couldn't go to work the next day, just was just not feeling right at all. And so during the shutdown, it was hard. COVID happened. During the shutdown, it was difficult to get a doctor to see you in the office. So I was looking around on the internet, and I'm looking into functional medicine. What's a functional medicine provider? And that sounded good. And where do I find one? So I did a Yelp search for that and found out there was one 12 miles from me, made an appointment and got in to see her. And she did really extensive lab work and found out there's a lot more going on than you thought, that you don't feel well. So I had some toxicity with mold, et cetera. And I can go on from there, but it was nice to feel listened to. It was nice to recognize that what she could do for me was not what Western medicine could typically do, waiting for my yearly annual checkup and physical. She could run stuff to test my vitamin D levels and, my vitamin B levels, and how are your hormones doing and how are your adrenals doing. No one had done that for me before. And it helped me calm down a little, because it really troubled me emotionally too, that I could not go running. I needed the endorphins. That's part of the makeup of who I am, to stay active. And it became quite depressing. So that didn't add to the poor health that I felt.
Yeah. Yeah. So some things that I really want to touch on here, because they're so important. First of all, Tammy is by no means lazy. She is one of the hardest workers in her professional life, her personal life. She enjoys staying on the move. And
thank you. Yes.
So when all of the sudden this changed for you, and it feels like, what is going on? And people that see this, people around us, you know, that they don't understand. It's not that we're just being lazy or antisocial. At some point, your body is so locked in that fight or flight that it shuts down your access to excess energy. So you it's only allowing you to use bare minimum. And this is a conservation survival mode that your body goes into. Your body is always wired for survival. So it is working for you. It's just misinterpreting the data at this point, right? So say, you know, my body is turned against me. No, your body is working in overdrive to keep you alive. It just doesn't understand that the stressors that you are feeling aren't lion, tiger, or bear. They were more emotional stress, right?
Indeed. Indeed. Yes.
We've got one thing that I love to share with women is that our world around us is far more advanced than our biology. Take my southern accent out of that. So our biology is still very much running as if we are in primitive times. So these artificial light sources, the stress that we have today versus the stress that we had back then, when you were stressed, you know, back in primitive times, it was because you were about to fight for your life or were currently fighting for your life.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
So all these survival mechanisms kick in, and we feel like, why is my body turning against us? It's just misinterpreting the data. So the stress component is so important when you are facing autoimmune issues. And someone like me, we love to work out. At some point, though, we are beginning to do more damage than good.
Yes.
This was something that I remember so distinctly about your story. You loved CrossFit as much as anyone. And all of the sudden, you were feeling like, and not only do I not want to go do it right now, I can't. I mean, it's almost giving me, you know, the exhaustion from it. So you recognize that. Tell me a little bit about that.
I think the frustration was really palpable for people who knew me around me. It's like, you're not yourself. Why don't you go run? Or why don't you go do these things? It was so counterproductive. I would go run or try to run or try to get on my rower or try to go to a class and just literally feel like I ran a marathon and I'm only doing it 15 or 20 minutes. It was just shocking to me because I thought I could out-exercise it or out-work it out. Like if I could just get up and go back, I could get it out there, but it was just going in a circle and I just wasn't getting anywhere. And a lot of times autoimmune problems are made worse by a stressful event sort of can trigger it. Mm-hmm. And it can be dormant there. Case in point, where I was, apparently my thyroid wasn't really doing great and it was caught in one lab test. Go to another doctor and it wasn't caught in the lab test. When I went to see my functional medicine provider, her lab numbers were a lot tighter, say a 1 to a 3 instead of a 1 to a 10. And it was able, I could have had it caught had I been seeing a functional medicine provider. Hey, it could have been caught early to say, it's not a disease yet, but if you make some lifestyle changes, you can, you know, do some things now in your diet and your lifestyle to maybe not have it happen. So apparently that didn't happen. But for me, I was just a cranky person to be around and disappointed, like, for Pete's sake, I can only do yoga. Not that yoga isn't fantastic and I incorporate it these days, but that's all I was doing. And there's not a lot of endorphins to be had. Right.
Yeah.
And
when I mentioned earlier that she's not lazy, she is also not cranky. She is one of the kindest people. And I'm not just saying that because you're right in front of me, but you exude love and care. And so when you're fighting this internal battle of why don't I feel the way that I normally am? And I want to exude that. And I'm not. And so with the thyroid ranges, that's a really good point. So I think the typical physician, they look at a range starting at about 4.5 as being problematic. But what we're seeing is that you are having major thyroid issues starting at 2.5. And so if we are waiting until we are at a, you know, much higher number, it's really disaster can happen. It's the same with insulin and fasting blood sugar, A1C. You know, by the time that your issues are showing up and the doctor is saying, hey, this is a problem when you're looking at insulin, your pancreas has probably been overworked for about 7 years now. So
you're a candidate for medicine at that point. So it works great for Western medicine.
Yeah.
You're going to say, hey, we've got you. You're going to segue right into Western pharmacopoeia and you'll be okay. Whereas if you're, you know, listening to maybe more functional medicine or incorporating that in part of the Western medicine as part of it, as an adjunct to it, you can catch it by changing your lifestyle habits. As an aside, all the years that I was scrubbing in surgery and I was rubbing those chemicals into my hands where we do the fingers, that palm, all the way up to your elbows, time after time after time after time, I look back at it now and I see what a major endocrine disruptor that was in that. And I didn't even think to question it all those years scrubbing into surgery. I can't tell you how many times for that many years. And
so that can have a direct impact on your thyroid function.
Oh, indeed.
So the endocrine system, that's our hormone system. And so that's a great point, you know, and that speaks to the masses right now because we're coming off of all the COVID craziness and we were told to scrub down all the time, wash our hands 50,000 times a day, hand sanitizers. And guys, we have not gotten better, right? I mean, we're getting sicker.
And we are getting sicker because that destroys the natural microbiome we have on our hands that we need that protect us. We've got an acidic balance on human skin. We're acidic. We're not neutral. And that acidic balance, just slightly acidic, not too much. An orange would be too much, but we're just right. So when you touch your cell phone, the elevator button, you open the door, we've got a protection on our skin and protection on our face. When we destroyed that with tons of rubbing like soap, all that alcohol, just pressing it into your skin and all, it's too much. The soap, when you can just a little bit with soap and you rub your hands, it's called saponification. And when the bubbles go into the drain, the germs go off of it that way and it can still keep the healthy microbiome on your skin intact. But it was too much with the hand gel.
And antibacterial all the time.
Antibacterial.
So, yeah. The microbiome that she's talking about on our skin, that's made up of a ton of bacteria. And while we may think, ooh, we don't want bacteria on our hands, you need bacteria on your hands because there are just like in the gut, there are protective, healthy, good bacteria in the gut. There are protective, healthy, good bacteria on our skin. You know, that's why we like for children to go play in the dirt, you know, build that immune system, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed. So indeed.
I love that.
We need it.
One other thing that I wanted to touch on from what you just told us about. So the stress and working out. So our culture today is very much go hard 24/7, never miss a Monday, work out 7 days a week. And listen, if you are metabolically healthy and in your 20s and early 30s, and you're not experiencing any issues from that, do your thing, build muscle while you can, right? With that time to take advantage of it. However, a woman's biology is not meant for 24/7 go hard. And so as we get into our, you know, middle, late 30s, we need to really be paying attention to when is it optimal for us to go hard and when is it optimal for us to back off. So exercise is known as a hormetic stress, meaning a good stress. It's a good stress on the body, unless you are already physiologically burnt out, right? So your cortisol levels are elevated. You were dealing with a loved one who was dying.
Yes.
You were trying to figure out a new career. And then you had just some other stressors. So at this point, it was a tipping point to add that exercise stress. Your body's like, no, that this is not good. And this is where you can see women put on weight. They exercise themselves to death and they're steady gaining weight. Again, your body's in that conservation mode, right? So
that happened to me. Yeah. Your stress becomes distress.
Great point. Yes. So that's really, that was the key signal that something had gone awry. And so you, have made a huge comeback though. And it was a big deal. Your thyroid was really, really,
it's, as she put it, crashed. And she said, you're a sick little girl. And the thing about that frightened me was that also really tips you over into anti-aging a lot quicker when the mitochondria are not healthy and they're not able to do its basic job. The basic powerhouse of every single cell in our body is too weak to just help you get up and go. That's when anti-aging, that's when aging does kick in, like hyper. You premature age, you look a little older than you are, your cells can't help. And I was beating myself up thinking, what did I do to myself? Not thinking about when the functional medicine provider sat me down and said, it took years to do this and accumulate. It's not something you did last week that you're going to make it better this week by putting it on your to-do list. I really thought that, you know, just not used to not being healthy. So I really listened to everything she started to say, and I started to get my mind to calm down. I started asking myself, I had to ask myself, can you just listen? Can you just listen to that quiet voice? Pay attention to what she's going to say, she or he, whoever your functional medicine doctor could be, and just listen to the plan. And that's when I started to accept, all right, I'll go along with this. And my journey began. That's when my journey began.
So you made a post and before we hop off of this podcast, we'll have you tell everybody where they can find you on Instagram. But you made a post yesterday that I loved. And you said, if you're feeling, you know, if you're in a state of overwhelm, the best place to start, pick the size of your dragon that you want to slay today. Right. So
that's right. That's right.
Repeat that, because it was so brilliant and so needed.
I don't want to take, it's because of an inspirational person that I listen to on a podcast. If you want me to say his name, I can. But he talks about, he's a clinical psychologist that's very famous. And he said, pick the size of your, pardon?
Who is this? What's his name?
Jordan Peterson.
Okay.
Jordan B. Peterson. I listen to everybody with a grain of salt. So everybody, I'm not a sycophant, but I do like to listen to three sides to every story, in my opinion. I ask three different people, and then I take my advice from that type of a person, you know, from what I choose from my left, my right, and then something neutral. So that being said, I like to listen to Dr. Peterson. And he always says, choose the size of your dragon. If it's too scary to do something and you try and do it and you fail at it, well, you're going to be, it's not going to make you feel good. You're going to feel like you failed. But if you can pick the size of the dragon you're going to slay for the day, and you really put some thought into it, don't just let life happen. Think about it and take those baby steps to do that one thing today. Because otherwise, I said, you feel like there's days where I feel like a bird and I just want to fly away from all the responsibilities. So I choose the size of the dragon that I want to slay, and I work on that, and I'm successful. So
Yeah.
Pick the size of your dragon you like to slay for the day, every day.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We think that we've got a to-do list a million miles long, and we may be in a point in our hormonal cycle where it's not the day to, you know, figure out how we're going to reroute our business for, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about accomplishing one little thing, like you said. And so we have that authority and power when we take it back to choose.
Indeed.
Know? And this is why I love cyclical health for women, because you can look at your cycle or your hormones and you can say, you know what, this is going to be a great project in a week. Today, the dragon that I'm going to slay is to get out and get some sunshine and walk with my dog, because I know that this will give my nervous system what it needs for the day.
Yes. Yes.
And this is what I saw you do. You took the information that your functional MP gave you and you just piece by piece began to implement it. And one thing that you took very seriously was the nutrition component, but can you, and it worked wonders for you. Can you tell me a little bit or a few things that she gave you to start addressing this that you feel made a huge difference other than compounding? She compounded your thyroid medication, right?
Yeah. I think where it started with was the testing. It was much more types of testing that I thought were available out there. So that's what was, gave me some hope. I thought, wow, here's my blood. They're going to get a lot of answers out of this. And she went a lot of different directions to find out what toxicity I have, what was causing the liver to be overloaded and my adrenals to be fried like they were. Because I was just beating myself up for my whole, everything I was trying. Mentality is, you know, keep moving, feel good. She did a lot of blood work and she started with toxicity and found out that I had mold toxicity for sure. So that's really very serious. Secondary to that, she did some food sensitivity testing for me, because I'm looking at her and saying, are you kidding me? I eat paleo, I do this, I do this, I do this, et cetera. I was telling her everything I ate. And she said, that's great, but we don't know what you're sensitive to because you've got so much inflammation. And I said, what? I have inflammation? Yes, inflammation is causing, et cetera. And she would explain to me. So I said, okay. So the testing that she would do for me was very helpful indeed. So one of the major ones was the food sensitivity panel. And that was a lot of vials. That was like 12 vials of blood. But sometime later, I came back to the clinic and she explained to me that the printout is from everything from a green, which is something that your body is not causing inflammation, all the way over to red, you should never have. And so seeing the colors and looking at it, wow, I've got a lot of red going on here. But it was food, Allison, that I thought that was good for me. So that's what changed my thinking, how to rethink my diet, the food you eat, not necessarily dieting, but what I was eating that was causing inflammation and how to start taking that out of my diet and then adding back in to what you can have. So I looked at it as, instead of thinking all the things that I couldn't have, I changed my mind to think of, here's what I can have. Okay. You can't have chicken egg because that's severely causing you an allergy, which I never would have thought in a million years. I ate a lot of eggs a day for protein, but then it became, you have a sensitivity to chicken. So I found duck eggs, and boy, did I find duck eggs. So if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it 1,000%. So I found duck eggs for everybody that wanted duck eggs. But yes, I was taking grains out of my diet and I was putting in different types of vegetables. I was learning about quinoa and Himalayan buckwheat. So I was just learning at the same time. I always feel like I want to be a student of life. You can always learn every day. So I was learning, not just doing as well. And it changed my life so much. The foggy mind stopped, the foggy brain stopped. One of the quickest things to flip for me was the joint pain. The joint pain started to go away because it's something that was there for me, But I just dismissed it. It's whatever. Turns out there's nothing wrong with my knees. I had these brain issues in my body causing inflammation. And it's just amazing how much systemically that was going on, because food is your medicine. Mm-hmm. And here I was dosing myself with oats and rice and corn. And that was exactly the opposite of what my body needed. So I did a deep dive to overhaul the foods I was eating. And that was one of the most dramatic things that I saw a change in. And then she asked me to incorporate things like specific minerals, probiotics, good fats. And then she asked me to work on stress. And I kind of poo-pooed the idea of stress at first. But then the more I started studying on my own, Allison, I realized stress was just as important as what I was eating. And the sleep, my quality of sleep at night, I took all of these things so much more seriously. I started listening to like the Huberman Lab, you know, how your sleep is important, the blue light, how it affected me, how it affects so many things. I changed so much in my life. And she did this for about, I don't know, I didn't know how long it was going on, but pretty soon about a year went by. I mean, it really went by pretty quickly. And then she did some binding with the liver, with a few things that they have you do, doing fulmic and humic, things like that. And I lost 21 pounds in about 3 weeks. I was shocked myself because I wasn't working out. It just came off. And I was right back to the weight that I had felt comfortable with, just not just living my life, not trying to diet. I was just eating better for my situation with my health. And then the numbers started to improve. The TSH went back to where she wanted it to. And yes, she compounded the T3, T4, but now she's titrating me off of it a little bit at a time. So I'm reducing that. Because my wellness provider knows that for me, I do not want to be on any pharmaceutical. I don't want that to dictate my life. I don't want to be beholden to that. In other words, if there's a lifestyle habit I can do to change, I will. But you don't know what the future holds. We never know. So never say never. But it's my heart's desire to not have to be on any pharmaceuticals. I'm happy to take supplements, minerals, learn better ways of eating, better ways of mindful thinking, the hot, cold showers. I love doing the ice baths. I've incorporated that. Just so many things have changed. I have to say, in a weird way, that sickness was one of the best things that ever happened to me. You know, if you could say that about being sick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because look at all that you've learned, and mm-hmm. it's just going to benefit you. This is going to benefit people that you run into that are struggling.
Oh, like, of hey, course,
go see so and so, or consider this. the food sensitivity test can be so eye-opening. So you're right. There are a lot of us that eat really healthy, and we have no idea that tomatoes, healthy, yeah. avocados, yeah. eggs can be causing systemic inflammation. You yes. know, whole foods. These were staples in my diet, and I had that sensitivity test done, and it was causing an immune response. And I had right. to, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, replacements. And so, yeah, it, That's a huge thing to look at. If you have removed gluten, you've removed dairy, you're doing, you know, all the meditation and stress management techniques, and you're still experiencing achy joints or yes. Chronic fatigue, stubborn weight, then it's time to dive deeper, and let's look into mm-hmm. deeper lab work results. So, you mentioned something about you just kind of got used to the pain, your joint
it did.
Pain. Yeah. It's very common. We start to compensate with, you know, the other side. If your left knee hurts, you start compensating on your right side. And we all of a sudden major issues come up because we've just gotten used to it. Yeah. So I love the things that you talked about, because it really reaffirms what we do with clients at Whole Story Health. It's nutrition, it's supplementation, just to make sure that we are supporting the body, the liver, so that you can properly metabolize hormones with certain nutrients that we may not be able to get from our food, right?
Right, exactly.
Stress management, the sleep hygiene, and then having somebody there that can help you navigate this process. It's huge. I love that you have looked at this and said, that was really hard, but this is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. That's amazing. So, okay. That is super, super helpful. My hope and desire is that some woman out there, or if a man is listening and they recognize some of those symptoms as something that maybe that they're struggling with, that they will think to dive deeper into that. So thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So we definitely want to talk about your recommendations. You are a skin professional, and just from listening to everything that Tammy has said so far, I think that you've earned our trust, right? You okay. Really do look at this from a holistic perspective. So I would love for you to give us some recommendations, give us some skills that we can use so that we can be prepared to pick out quality skin products.
All right, let's frame how our day goes, and that'll get us to think which direction we can use for our products. So we wake up in the morning, we shower, we use products that, for whatever reason, you choose, the labels, for whatever recommendation you got from a friend. There's a multitude of reasons why we choose the products we choose. So you wake up and you shower and you use soap. Then you shampoo your hair, you use a product with the conditioner. Then you got your body wash. Then you shave. You're going to use some shaving cream. You get out, and then you're going to lotion the whole body generally. And then you focus on your face. Now you've got facial cleansers. You've got toners. You've got moisturizers. And then you might use makeup. And you're going to start with, anything from foundation, eyeshadow, blush, mascara, lipsticks. Then you're going to do your scalp. You're going to put, products on your scalp. You're going to put leave-in things on your hair. You're going to use the hairspray. During the day, you're going to wash your hands multiple times in a variety of places, perhaps. Then you come home and you got the bedtime routine. Most people, average people, uses about 15 to 26 products at home every day. And that's a lot of products.
I would say that's probably on the light end for women, don't you think?
Agree.
Yeah.
And of just that little bit, that's approximately 126 contaminants.
Wow.
So that's... those contaminants are, we're going to call them endocrine disruptors. I know you talk about that in regards to PCOS with your people out there that you talk to about. And those endocrine disruptors, of course, affect our hormones. And so choosing the products that go on our skin, I deal with the face, shoulders, neck, and décolleté. That's what an esthetician deals with. And products that we put on our body, everything that I mentioned and that daily routine, is going to get into the skin through something called transdermal. And that's been going on for thousands of years. It's good and it's bad. When you get into a wonderful mineral spring, you want that to transdermally be healing for you and a good experience. And it's great. But conversely, it also has bad effects too. Getting products in through your skin like that in our modern world today in 2022 can be daunting, the amount of endocrine disruptors that are in there. So knowing that the FDA does not regulate not one iota when it comes to the products here in the United States. In Europe, they look at their list every year. And last year, for instance, the list that they nationally have over there, they took out 1,300. The United States looked at our list and what everything we've got of the tens of thousands of ingredients and products, and they took out 11. So they're not doing a very good job of looking out for us. So that leaves us to do that, because otherwise when we go to the store, it's overwhelming, or we shop online. However you're getting your beauty products or your Even for men, I don't mean to say that only women do this. Men use healthcare somewhat as well. And it gets into our skin. So we have to remember that transdermally, if you think of a nicotine patch, you know, that's getting nicotine systemically into the body and you're not smoking, it's in a patch. Birth control, that's done the same way as well. So there's just some small examples of how it's used in our everyday life. But you can see each person maybe thinking right now out there thinks, wow, I've got a lot of product. And even if I'm a no makeup wearing person, your chapstick, I mean, it's invasive how much of that we have that affects us that way. So give you some, here's some, a little bit of the news of the things on the back of the labels. So we got your BHA and your BHT. Those are preservatives that mimic estrogen, and it can get in your liver, your thyroid, and your kidney. Okay. Then you've got
you said BHA, B as in ball. And we're going to list these in the show notes.
But sure, sure.
This is really important. I love this breakdown you're doing. We've got so much estrogen dominance for men and women. We see this problematic for men these days too. So BHA and BHT. So these are things to look for in skincare products and avoid, right? So this is an avoid list.
Okay. So this is a quick list of the real basic ones that you're going to see usually right away on a label. If this is your average bottle, you know, you may not be able to see this, but anybody can take any bottle you've got, you know, your shaving cream or whatever. And it basically breaks it down like this. You're going to have the brand's name at the top, and then you're going to put what the product is. If it's a coconut lotion, it'll say coconut lotion. Right under that, there's going to be some directions if you flip it over. And then you're going to have your list of ingredients, and they're going to be on there in descending order of amounts. So the whatever the highest ingredient is, most of that, it'll be listed first. And whatever the least amount of in that product is, it'll be listed last. Then it will give you the manufacturer name. It'll say how long it'll last, you know, give you an expiration date more than likely. And then the contents of the bottle or the tube or the jar. So that's pretty basic. Every container will generally start like that. Even toothpaste will start like that. It doesn't matter the product. So you can trust that that's how the formula will go. And then in the end of this, I will share with you, because there are thousands of ingredients that don't just have anything to do with what the product says it is, like vitamin C lotion. Some of those products are in there for preservatives. Some of the products are in there because it needs to be a certain consistency. If it's a lotion, it's going to be creamy. If it's a perfume, it's going to be liquid. It'll have various types of viscosity or liquidity. So the ingredients in something like this are on there for a variety of reasons. Even good organic products. I don't discount just bad labels. It's for all labels, for all products, things that are good for you and things that are not so great for our hormones. So that being said, that's how you would look at any product on the front. You're going to find out the company's name. It's going to tell you what the product is and what it does and what it's promising you. That's why I say, in general, before we get back to that list of bad contaminants or disruptors, is to think about to think about what they're promising you on the label, you know. Well, you know, it's so much that it's overwhelming. Coconut lotion makes you'll be sexy at the beach, and it's in a really curvy bottle. You know, it's so alluring, but we have to have a little bit of self-control and exercise, just like food. You know, same with food.
Yeah.
Looking at labels for that is kind of the same. What does it say on the front?
Yeah.
They're distracting you
from
what's on the back.
These companies spend billions with a B.
Indeed.
To market, not to enhance the quality of their products, not to, if they took even half of that money and put it back into the product itself, you know, it's everybody complains it can be expensive to buy organic. Well, if these companies that are selling all of these toxic products spent less on tricking us in marketing and actually put the things in there that they say that they have, think about what a different world we would live in. But if
that's not the goal, though. That's not their goal. That's just maximum money.
Yeah, there it's a financial means, and there are a lot of connections between the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And we don't say that to demonize anyone.
No.
A lot of people in these industries are unaware. Sure. And or they don't quite understand. But if we can have a base understanding, a general understanding of we have to be our own advocates as consumers, because these companies, the federal regulation committees, they do not have our best interest at heart. Even if it's not intentional, it doesn't meet their budget. So,
they're trying to make a product for the masses.
Yes.
I mean, it is for major name brands are making things for the masses. That means it's going to stay on a shelf a long time. It's going to be shelf stable. It will last many years or a long time. And that's what they're primarily trying to do. These smaller companies, sometimes they're mom and pop. Sometimes they're just, you know, they do one thing and they do it very well. They're making organic perfumes, organic soap, and they're making something that is, they're mindful of the products and where they come from. So product label reading is necessary to find out the good from the bad, if that matters. If it, you know, the hormone disruptors are so important right now because they're largely unregulated and we have to take a closer look at the labels.
Exactly.
And so I'll attempt to do that big, scary thing right now. But in the end, since I look at a book every day this big, this is a book that I use just, and I have apps on my phone that are extensive that tell me about products when people bring it in. So I could go over some quick endocrine disruptors to look at. But in the end, what I'll do is give you places to go where you can just type in your product name and it will give you a rating from 1 to 10. This one's a sketchy one, and this one is pretty darn safe. So you won't have to memorize these types of, but it can give you a quick, be able to flip it over and go, ooh, it's got, you know.
Yeah, let's do that.
DEA.
Because I cut you off earlier. So we were on a good track. So the avoid list, just a quick avoid list. So BHA, BHT, and then what else?
Okay. The biggest one, the bad boy, the largest group is called parabens. Parabens, there's a multitude of them. And I'll rattle off a few: methylparaben, butylparaben, anything that ends in a paraben, P-A-R-B-E-N. They're dangerous hormone disruptors for men and women, not just women, but for men as well, in the gonads especially. So the reproductive system seems to be especially what these disruptors are targeting poorly. Mm. Yeah. I mean, in other words, the company's not targeting you. These products are just not meant for our bodies to be able to go through it. Some of it stays in our endocrine system and disrupts it.
Do you trust products that say paraben free on the front of the bottle?
Not until I flip over the back of the bottle and look at it myself. Genuinely, they sometimes are mean well, especially if it's a foreign product. You have to just read your labels. So paraben free, flip it over on the back and make that company that says what it does on the front
prove it to you
on the back. And so it is overwhelming. It is daunting. There's no way I can memorize these. I pretty much know that if it's a big name brand, I really don't look for that. I don't really go with that. I go out of my way to look for companies that are health-minded, and I'm going to vote with my wallet. I'm going to buy those products. And same with toothpaste, same with shaving cream. Mm-hmm. But we're so used to, our generation right now is so used to branded marketing that we trust, you know, because they say so in that. And, oh, well, I've used it since I was a kid. Why isn't it okay? The products that we had as a kid, you know, are not pretty much the same now. Everything is so mass marketed.
Yeah,
there
that's
are
a good point. So the food in general, definitely skincare products, the quality, the integrity of all of this stuff has gone way, 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 way down, as you mentioned, for mass production purposes. And another thing to think of, so I hear this probably more from men than women, but I do hear quite a bit. Well, I've always done this. I've always eaten this. I've always used this product. It takes quite a while for this continuous interruption to cause issues that can have insanely detrimental effects to your health. And one thing that I don't want to skim over, because we have so many issues with infertility these days, both in men and women, is
it's
that
serious.
Yes. And so when we are being those crunchy granola frenchers that say, don't buy Bath and Body Works, you know, so I don't mean to target them, but it's just such a brand, or at least read the ingredients labels when you get there, to look at these websites, see what they recommend. It's something to think about if, you know, infertility has been an issue for you. What are you putting on your skin? What products are you using? Because over time, this can create major issue in the male and female reproductive system.
Not only that, the products that your parent was using when she was pregnant can get into the feet, to the fetus. So they have been with you. They've drawn blood from feet, from the umbilical cord, to know that there's contaminants already. So you're born with some of them these days, because it's been around for a couple generations now, for sure. So yes. And don't forget, the poison is always in the dosing. I've just used this cream and it's not so bad. You use that same cream for 15 years and what's going on?
Yeah.
And you're using it every day. As the example I pointed out, when you wake up in the morning from your shower to you know, put your pajamas on at night, there's a lot of products we're using, men and women and kids, every single day, that we're just getting the dose and it's accumulating in these areas of our bodies and in the hormones, in these, you know, your thyroid, your pituitary gland, your thalamus. You think about how much that is accumulating in your body, and eventually you get into your 40s and 50s and you start to not feel, and oh, it's just aging.
That's a lie.
It's, and if you not have, true.
If you have a medical professional that tells you that chronic fatigue, weight gain, you know, all of these things are just a part of your age or your sex, you need to find a new practitioner ASAP.
Yeah. Amen.
That's
Agree.
A great point.
Okay.
So, and speaking of that, these regulatory boards, whatever they are, they've deemed certain foods and certain products safe to use. But that's because it won't kill you instantaneously. But if we look at what it's doing to you over time, as you were just talking about, it is contributing to chronic disease, which will kill you, or it will dramatically decrease your quality of life in numerous
ways. It will put you on medications. It will put you on pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
That's what that's going to do.
So it is, you know, like she said, the dose makes the poison. So again, we can get away with certain things for so long, but if we know that it's constantly causing disruptions to our internal systems, it's something to really think about. And so I'm so grateful that you're giving us this insight. So you've got BHA, BHT, parabens. Are there any other like big offenders that you wanted to name that are super common?
Yes. Big one is sodium lauryl sulfate. It's a long word, but you'll see it as SLF. Sodium lauryl sulfate is what makes things bubble. And it's almost in everything. You like that foamy, thick shampoo, the hand, you know, bubbly, soapy thing. Sodium lauryl sulfate is in so many things. And I mean, pick up a product today and give it a try and see how many things you see right at the very beginning. Sodium lauryl sulfate. The next one would be triclosan. Anybody remember that? Remember Dial with triclosan, that it's antibacterial? Has anybody wondered where Dial has gone these days? And the triclosan that we used to see written on it, it's not there. They just quietly took it off the shelf because they found out it was carcinogenic, causing cancers.
Causing cancer.
So it's gone already. And then you have the last group. It's called phthalates. It's P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-F. This is my pet peeve one in particular. Phthalates, that's in regards to fragrances. Who doesn't love anything that smells great? From a lip gloss, the shampoo, shaving cream,
I don't,
body lotion, everything. You're
I'm
smart.
Offended by it now because I've taken it out, cut it out.
Here's why. Flip over the back. And the very last ingredient is almost always going to be parfum, scent, any of those words like that. The company does not have to disclose what a fragrance is. And that could be a multitude of ingredients that are toxic to humans, or animals and humans for that matter. But on that note, you got PETA looking out for the animals. You can't test on animals. You can't do, and that, thank goodness, because the cruelty, that's terrible. But Congress will not act to this day for rights of what we can't put in our products. And then here's another whole little back, dark, scary side of products. Not only do you have to look out for those things that I said, the parabens, the phthalates, etc., the sodium lauryl sulfate, and the products nowadays, you've got to fetal cell tissue is in a lot of our cosmetic products. And that's something that I get right in front of my eyes every day, from the reps that want me to come and use it to the clients that ask if I, you know, will carry it. And that's a hard no. And there's nobody really wants to talk about that.
You know? So if you were to look for that in an ingredient label, would it say MRC5, or do you know, I mean, there's so many ways they disguise
that's
it.
It's interesting
now.
That you said that, because they usually give it an alphanumeric name, and those name, the letter and the number, like M, just like what you said, that's from the fetal tissue that they gathered back. Some of them goes back to the 70s, 50s, 70s, even in the 80s, from just one square, the size of a postage stamp, fetal tissue that they've been able to replicate from. And eventually it wears itself out. It wears out its usage for them, but it will have names like that. I think that they're getting bolder and bolder these days. And so again, on the label, it's going to actually start to say like stem cell or fetal. And if you look at some of the websites out there that advertise this, I've checked out a few myself just to see for with my own eyes. They don't care. And the people that are using it don't, it doesn't bother them at all. It doesn't bother some people at all.
It's aborted fetal tissue.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So just to clarify that, it's aborted fetal cell tissue. And here's what's super disturbing. It is they're putting in our skin products that we as adults don't know about. That's super disturbing to me. But even more so, I've learned that it's put in children's candy, gum.
Yeah. Especially the sweet and sour things that are sweet and sour in particular. There is one, I know what you're talking about, but yes, it gives it that really sour taste. I don't eat things like that or let my grandkids have things like that. Yes, that's a very, and it's an interesting ingredient that does that, but
yeah, it is. It is.
Where it comes from.
And we are coming from a place of non-judgment here, right? So if this is something that you choose, by all means, like, we aren't here to demonize anyone as a consumer for their choices. However, I want you as a consumer to have that choice to make. Mm-hmm. So if you are blindly taking in ingredients that you do not want, that aren't good for your health or go against things that you believe in.
Yeah. Some religious convictions or diet.
Choice has been taken away from you. And so the reason that we want to disseminate this information is simply to give you that choice, so that if we can bring awareness, then you have that decision to make. And that is just the ultimate goal. So that's great. So you have some websites that you are going to give me, and you don't have to worry about naming the, well, unless you, do you have any apps
I do. I use the EWG app that you can just EWG. Okay. You can go to the website, EWG.org, and I do the EWG app on my phone that if I'm interested in what's going on with this product, you can usually hold the scanner over it and it'll
scan
the
barcode.
Yeah.
EWG stands for Environmental Working Group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. They do a great job.
I didn't know they had an app. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Check it out. I think they use it for food and other things as well. I like the skincare product line, but there's, I'll give them to you later, but I found 5 of them that were really good. And some of them I didn't know about until I started thinking about what I could share for the podcast. And I was really impressed. So there are people out there fighting the good fight, listing these ingredients. So don't feel overwhelmed about the ingredients that I was saying are terrible endocrine disruptors, because what I'm going to share with Allison to put on for the podcast for you to see, this even explains what every product in one of these ingredients is. I recently looked at the foundation I thought I was using that was, this is really good. I checked out the front, the back. When I ran it through one of these, I think it was Beauty Counter or cosmeticsinfo.org, it gave it an 8 out of 10 to be careful. I went, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm learning every day. That's one thing I don't want people to take away from this. I want to say this. When we are trying to be perfect, we get paralyzed.
Yes. Great
don't,
point.
Don't do this. Just forgive yourself for the mistake that day and move forward and keep learning. We can do better. Just do better.
Yeah.
And you can. And there's a lot of people that will help out there on these websites.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I was so mad at myself for buying that. It was coconut something shaving cream the other day. And I knew the minute I sprayed it, I was like, this is garbage. And just fell for the marketing of the package. But yeah, it's like, okay, well, you know, lesson learned. It taught me to pay attention more. So just move forward. Yeah. And so we are going to list some websites. So if you want to take the products that you already have and look at these websites and look at these ingredients, what a fantastic learning opportunity. And then if you're thinking, okay, well, what do I do when I'm out shopping still, you know, really new to this, use those apps. So I am going to download the EWG app ASAP because I think I trust them. More than anyone. There's another one that I've used in the past called Think Dirty, Shop Clean.
I've seen that one too. I didn't put that on my top 5, but yes.
So
there are so many.
They're been okay.
So detailed.
Yeah. There are a lot of times where it doesn't have, I'll scan the barcode and it doesn't have it. And sometimes, you know, I think the EWG one is going to be my go-to just because I've known of this for a really long time. And I know that these people do their research and they're fantastic. Yeah. So, so you've got an app to use in the store. You've got these websites that we'll link in the show notes to do your research on your current products. And you can look up products, your cleaning products. This is huge because these toxins that are in our cleaning products seep in through our skin and through
the
our
worst
respiratory
one,
system. Yeah.
Think about this, your dishwasher detergent. It's putting the steam in the air, and that is a huge endocrine disruptor. So
that's a good, good
point. Be so careful. I think the people that go through just looking at their beauty products will be, you know, stimulated or triggered to go in a good way to go, you know what? Well, what's in my cleaning products?
Yeah.
What's in my, let's go check this. What's in my toothpaste?
So
yes, this will hopefully be something that will enhance the whole focus on other products in your life that you're around.
Yeah.
Not just beauty products.
That it's a great place
about.
To start. Yes, absolutely.
Indeed. Your body.
And so I was super negative earlier about things that smell good. So not all things are terrible, but because I've cut out so many scented products, now I'm just really sensitive to smells. But there are still some great perfumes and colognes and things out there that are.
There's a couple I like. These are good ones. Land Vanilla. I think
there's
one called Skylar. Yeah.
Essential oils. Okay.
Yes.
So these are natural products. They don't say natural in the ingredients list, because if it says natural, but does not list exactly what it is, then it's another way that they can get away with, you know,
they'll use the Latin word. It'll be on there. They'll say lavendula or lavender or melaleuca, arnica, tea tree. they'll put two words when it's a plant and it's the real thing in the product.
Oh, that's
you'll good. Start to see that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's a great tip. Okay. So we are almost out of time, but I did not want to not talk about this just briefly. And then
yes.
I would love to have you back again and we can do an entire show on this because this is something that you are recently certified in and it is, it's huge. So you actually do sculptural face lifting techniques that can be used in place of Botox and fillers.
Yes. So
using yeah. your hands to manipulate the muscles in the face. Yes. So give us a brief rundown on that and okay. Maybe a teaser so that people will make learn more about this.
Yes, the sculptural face lifting technique was something I became interested in by the creator. Yakov Gershkovich was a music composer, is a music composer, and he was an esthetician in Europe. And I read in Vogue that he did a buckle facial on Meghan Markle at the time. And over in Europe, they take their aesthetics a little more seriously than us Americans do. We look at it as something, as a treat we do rarely sometimes, but aesthetics, which started in France, is a part of their lifestyle there. They treat skincare like they do dental care. So they often see their estheticians there. So me being an LA girl and living here in Mississippi, wanted to bring something new. When I first got my license, I started to think about it and decided this would be so much better than all of these young ladies. They come in, they lie on my table and they say, oh, be careful. I just got Botox right here, or don't you, because you can't touch it when it's fresh. It might relocate it somewhere and you don't want that. They have an adverse effect with the muscle drooping or something. So I thought, well, what could be better than maybe have an alternative? Everybody likes options. So it's just simply an option. If Botox and fillers are your thing, you go Dolly girl, like, you know, Dolly Parton, she's proud and she loves it and she looks amazing. But it's not for everybody. So you don't have to feel the pressure of Botox if you can find an SFL technique practitioner and that I got certified in finally. And so sculptural face lifting technique is a passive exercise for the facial muscles. And it's important to note that it's as much for the mind as it is for your body. When I flex my bicep muscle and you flex your bicep muscle, Allison, our mind willed us to do that. But when I smile or I frown, my emotions made me do that. So we are so connected, mind and body, that this sculptural facelifting technique is not only going to make you look glowing and fabulous from the lymphatic drainage and the hand movements on the face. They're almost like conducting an orchestra on someone's face because we do this to music as well. And it's the intraoral part, the buccal massage, that is the part that mind blows everybody. They love it. That just really puts it all together. And you feel like, wow, I just had an exercise for my face and I can't even whistle. My lips are so loose now. Here's that.
That's fantastic. And I think that people are going to be really interested in that because, you know, so many enjoy the benefits of Botox, but also would really love to find some alternatives. And so this is, I've had maybe one or two done. She practiced
right.
on me.
So
it is a massage for the face and neck like you have never had before. And I think one time it put me to sleep in the best way.
Yes.
I was so relaxed.
Yes, and, you did.
I'm loving that this is, I'm so appreciative that you brought this to Mississippi because we're the last to get most things, but there are
not this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks to our California girl. But there are practitioners across the or estheticians that are certified in this.
Big cities have it right now. I think Los Angeles, New York, Chicago has it. It's very pricey there. It's made it into a few TV shows. It's kind of funny. It's becoming kitschy to talk about getting a buccal massage. So it's out there.
Yeah. Fantastic. And they have,
you can find somebody if you really want to.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you are interested in learning more from Tammy about any of her techniques, anything that she does, or even just maybe has some questions about quality products, we sure. definitely want you to be able to connect with her. So Tammy, tell us where listeners can find you.
I'm on Instagram at cloud9_skincare.
Okay.
Cloud9_skincare.
Perfect. You make sure you go follow her. She is all the time posting some great inspirational stuff, but also she does a lot of demonstrations of her face sculpting, and it's really fun to watch. It's interesting. So check her out. And again, I just want to thank you for being here. We will definitely have you back because this topic is so important and it's something that we need to revisit, go deeper into, continue this conversation. All right, ladies, we are so happy that you joined us here. If you enjoyed this, we would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review so that we can continue to get information out and empower women on their hormone and metabolic health. And we will leave you there today. So we hope to have you back next time. Y'all be well.
Love you, girl.
Thank you so much for listening today. We hope that you got a lot out of that episode. We have some more powerful episodes coming up. If you are interested in locking arms with us to get this information out and empowering women to get their health back, it really helps us if you will subscribe to this channel as well as rating and reviewing the show. If you're interested in talking one-on-one about your personal health journey, I'm happy to do that too. You can find me on Instagram at @AllisonHealthCoachNoe. I will put that in the show notes as well as my email address, wholestoryhealth@gmail.com. You guys have a great day. We will see y'all next time. That's a wrap for this one.